So tonight I'm going to bring a message. It's not going to be very pleasant, really. But I want to challenge you because, listen, I was watching a while ago. Boy, this isn't going to come out right. So I ask forgiveness ahead of time. Brother Garner, forgive me. Brother McKinley, forgive me. But I saw both. One was coming up and one was going down. And they were both having problems. Brother McKinley, I can remember a time when he went from the bottom to the top with one step. I found myself looking for something to get a hold of as I'm coming up. You see, Brother McKinley, Brother Garner, Brother Martin, we're coming to the end of our ministries. We've got many years behind, many more years behind us than we do in front of us. And someday this church will have another pastor. And it's going to be your responsibility to make sure that you have a man of God that's focused on missions.
Amen.
You hear me?
Amen.
And so tonight we're going to turn to James chapter 2, and I'm going to preach a message entitled A Funeral for Faith. Now I'm telling you, in 45 years of preaching, I've preached a lot of funerals. Not only that, but I have sung at more than I've preached. And I'm telling you, they're not a pleasant thing. I've never been to a funeral where I enjoyed it, preaching it. Even if they were saved and been saved for many, many years, I still was not a pleasant thing to see people weeping and crying. And funerals are not supposed to be that way. It's a time to say goodbye and grieve with the hope of heaven that we'll see them again. But in the book of James, in verse 14, many of you know this passage. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Now I'm going to stop there. I know you're standing. This is my fear right here. That if something doesn't change, our Independent Baptist churches are going to be saying to missionaries, we're not taking you on for support. We didn't get any kind of increase. But depart in peace. God bless you, missionary. What good does that do? Be you armed and filled when they did nothing for them. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? And here the first time James says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Amen. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Heavenly Father, bless this message. May it challenge Landmark to stand the ground. Not for a day, not for a year, but until you come. And we trust you in the name of Jesus tonight. Amen. You may be seated. Twice tonight, James makes the statement, faith is dead. Now, you know, as an evangelist, I go to a lot of churches, and many times pastors, especially pastors younger than myself, will ask me the question, Brother Martin, what do you think is the biggest problem we have in our churches today? And they're expecting some deep, you know, deep wisdom answer, and, you know, and they want to know, you know, what it is. Now, they don't really want to know what's wrong with their church. They just want to know what's going on with the other churches. They'll say, are any of them growing? Are any of them doing something different? But I'll be honest with you. One of the greatest problems today is faith has died. I mean, there was a time when everything we did was by faith. There was a time when the independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing Baptists were the poorest bunch in town. And yet we continued on because we trusted God. I got such a blessing from Brother Garner's testimony tonight. And when they went off down there in Mexico, the same way with these young missionaries here. But I'm going to tell both of you guys, and you know this, you better get your faith kicked up in gear, buddy. Because that's the number one thing you're going to need when you get there, is trust in that unseen hand. Because you're going to a place where they don't want you. They don't want you in their country. They don't want you telling them about Jesus. But you've got to follow God. And you're going to have to learn to trust God for a lot of things. Now, faith doesn't just die on its own. It doesn't just get old and die off. And I want to tonight, if I may, give you at least five things. There's more than this, but I want to try to get through on time. Five things that I know causes faith to die. There are many more, I think, but we're going to deal with five. You notice on the screen we have faith, R.I.P. Somebody tell me what R.I.P. means. Rest in peace, amen. And there are many a church today, and I'm ashamed to say it. That's what they've said. Faith, rest in peace. We'll need you when we need you. But right now, just go ahead and lay there in the grave. We don't need you today. What causes faith to die? Number one, James tells us, a lack of work. James is plain here in verse 17. That faith, if it hath not works, is dead. It's not just sick. It's not just in a hospital. It is dead. I mean, it is works. Faith is something, church, that has to be active. It has to be used. Faith cannot just crawl in on Sunday morning and you be faithful in your church. It's something that has to be used every single day of your life. It has to be something. It's just like your body. Your body needs to be active as much as you can. When you get where you can't run, you walk. If you get to the point you're old enough you can't walk, then you crawl. You just got to keep moving somehow to keep your body going. Well, faith is the same way. If works is not involved, if we're not using it in a big way, it's going to die. Amen. It must be used every day. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that the faith that we, the saved people, we walk or live by faith, not by sight. Faith is something that has to be not just on Sunday. Listen, when you fill out that card this Sunday morning, I'm going to guarantee you one thing. You're going to need faith every single day. That's why it's called faith promise. Amen? And I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but I'm telling you, without works, it's not going to happen. I thank God when I come to a church. I hate saying anything negative about other churches. I hate it. But I can't keep my mouth shut much longer. It's just burning me up. Visitation's become a thing of the past. I'm telling you, it's just gone in the majority of churches. It's just something that passing out tracts, you don't know what a joy it was to see that the other night. I'm not kidding you. Now, used to that just be the norm. Preacher wouldn't have to get up in the pulpit and pass out tracts. It was the norm for people to tell people about Jesus. And now you got to go out and you've got to get something that is extremely beautiful. You got to work hard just to get the people, you and people like us, to even hand out one. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go around any church. No church can go around saying we're a church of faith if we're not doing some work with it. And I'm going to speak on this at the banquet because missions is more than just foreign. It deals with your city right here. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get blunt tonight, and you people know me long enough that I think, as one preacher told me, he said, you've got enough credit to get away with a little bit of stuff. But I'm going to tell you tonight, right now, that mission program back there on that board, if you want to see it continue to go up, you know what you've got to do? You've got to fill these pews. Yeah, amen. I'm telling you right now, there's no other way it's going to happen. You've got to fill these pews with new people. Hey, we're not getting any younger. Some of y'all are not getting any younger. People that are keeping this mission program going, I don't know who gives what, but I'll tell you what, there's people that's giving in this mission. They're not going to be here 15 years from now. They're going to be in glory. And if you don't fill these pews up with people and teach them to give to missions and teach them to visit, this church will be done. And it's not just this church, it's any church. Faith. A lack of work. Secondly, and I'm repeating a little bit, is a lack of witnessing. And I won't stay there long. But Philippians 1:27 talks about the faith of the gospel. I mean, folks, I'm about to put my finger. Now, I knew on Friday night most of you people will probably give to missions. But it still needs to be said. I'm about to put my finger on why so many Christians are not giving to Faith Promise. And you'd be surprised. It irks. I try to not get involved too much in one single church. You know, I want to know the amount, but I got another church next week. I mean, I just get disturbed when there comes a bunch of blank cards in. It drives me nuts. Because everybody can give something to missions. Are you listening? Everybody can. Now, I'm going to put my finger on why they're not giving to missions. If there are people here Sunday that don't give to missions, I guarantee you I know why. It's because they're not even, they don't witness at home, so they're sure not going to give money for somebody to witness in Russia. When you start witnessing at home, you start getting some people saved, you show somebody how to get saved, it'll fire you up for missions like nothing else will do. I mean, if you want to get started, I went to South Texas years ago. I'm going to go over. I know I am. I'm sorry. But we had some complications thing. I'm not taking the blame tonight. But I went down to South Texas and I'd been there and I preached for a young guy. And I walked in his office and his old head was bowed down on the desk. And I said, "What's the matter?" I just walked in on Saturday afternoon, start the revival next day. He said, "I'm just about ready to cancel this meeting. I just got there." I said, "What's the problem?" You know, good night, Gertrude. This is before I got old enough to have a little wisdom to kind of love on them a little bit. At that time, I just said, yank them out of the chair and say, "Be a man." But, you know, I said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "I'm just a discouraged and fed up." He said, "I don't even know if there's a hell anymore." Well, that's the wrong thing to say. I said, "Get out of that chair and get in the car." I was mad, man. I mean, this guy, he looked at me like, "What?" I said, "Get in the car. Where are you going?" I said, "It don't matter. You need to go somewhere except sitting in his office talking about there's no hell." And I was praying. I was driving in this city and I didn't know where to go. And I was going down the road and I was praying, "God, you got to do something right now. This guy is in the rope. He's in his rope. He's about to..." I mean, he had started this church and was running over 100. Had a mission program going. And I just pulled up to a street. Now, this only happened one time in my life. So, you know, but thank God it happened that day. I just pulled up to the street and he said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "We'll knock some doors." He said, "It ain't going to do any good. People don't want to hear about it." I said, "I don't care. We're going to knock some doors. Now, when we get through, if you want to cancel this meeting, I'll go home. But I'm already here and we're going to knock doors." And God was so good. The first door we knocked on, I just walked up this door, knocked on the door, and a young lady came to the door and she was crying. And I said, "Young lady, something must be wrong. I'm a preacher. This is a preacher." I didn't say that, but I was disgusted with him. And I said, "We're just knocking doors, and something's definitely wrong." And she said, "You know what? I was just sitting on my couch praying somebody would come by." She said, "I am feeling so hopeless." We led her to Jesus. She had a teenage son in the back room. He came out, led him to Jesus. In that one block, we won 6 people to Jesus Christ, and 4 of them got baptized Sunday night. When that preacher came out of that baptistry, I was standing over at the door. I said, "Is there a hell in heaven?" He said, "There sure is." And I said, "Then don't ever say it again." Faith was about to die. You say, "Well, people, I don't care if they want you to knock on their door or not." Thank God somebody knocked on my door and I was a bus kid. Amen. You've got to have faith, and that faith will die if you don't witness. It's just simple as that. Faith also dies from a lack of true worship. We hear a lot about worship, and I think a lot of people are confused about it. Maybe I'm confused. I don't know. But Paul dealt with the same thing. You don't have to turn there, but in Romans 14, a bunch of them people was fussing and fighting. Some were eating meat. Some thought they ought not be eating meat. And you know, the Baptists and fuss about the silliest stuff I ever heard in my life. And Paul, the apostle, he just, when it come right down to it, he just looked at them and said, you know what y'all's problem is? I'm paraphrasing. He said, you're trying to worship God and you're not getting it done, because here's what he said in verse 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He said, listen, this business about eating and not eating and all of this stuff, it's affecting your worship, he said. So Paul poses two questions to him. He says, is it for the Lord? And is it of faith? If it's not, he said, it's not real worship, whether you're eating or not eating.
Right.
You say, Brother Marty, what I'm saying? I'm saying, listen, a lot of the problems we're having in our worship services is so much of it's done without faith.
That's right.
When we pray, we're to pray with faith.
Amen.
When we preach, we're preaching by faith. When you give, you're giving by faith. It ought to all be of faith when we come in this place to worship. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can have the best preacher, you can have a building full of people, you can have a big giant offering, but if you don't have faith, you are not pleasing God. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without it, it is impossible to please God. And the only way we're going to worship God right is to put faith back in its place. Not in a graveyard, but in the very center of the church.
Amen.
Church going is not worship. Worship is going to church and doing it by faith. Giving is not worship. It's just a part of worship. Worship is the act of pleasing God. That's what it is. And what makes that possible? Faith. So many have gotten away from that. One reason that faith has died is a lack of want. Philippians 4:12, Paul was telling them in Philippians, he said, you know, I know how to be abased. That word abased means it's a word that comes from basement. He said, I know what it is to be at the bottom. Paul was hungry, he was cold, he was shipwrecked. I mean, he went through all of that. He said, I know what it is to be abased. Then he said, and I also know how to abound. This is what's hurt a lot of churches. They don't know how to abound. Our independent fundamental Baptist churches have become elevated now. We're so dignified and we're so uppity. And we've been blessed so much, and I'm grateful for that. But we better not forget where we came from and how we got where we are. Faith is dead in so many Christians because they feel no need for faith. Now let me ask you this, and you've heard me make this statement before. How many of us really have to go to God and ask Him for food to eat tonight? We got food. We ate so much today. We're blessed with food. We got more clothes than we can wear. How often do we really use faith? Well, if somebody's about to die or one of our kids is sick, we want our faith to really kick in. Listen, that's why I like Faith Promise. Every single week of my life, I get to use faith. Every single week, I get to use faith. I promise you, I'm not going to tell you what we give, but it's by faith, brother. And thank God for it. So many people have been blessed so much, they don't have to ask God for anything. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, God giveth and He taketh away. If you don't believe it, you ask Brother Job when you get to heaven. You better take care of that abounding part. You better learn how to abound. Some people don't know how to abound. It's easy to be poor. Good night. Nobody had to teach us to be poor. We were born poor. It's just part of it. We didn't know we was poor. But then we begin to get things. You begin to get things and you don't really know how to react to it. You better react to it this way and understand that it's given to you by God. And it is not given to you just to be squandered away. It's given to you to be used of God. I love faith promise because it gets me on my knees every week. I say, God, where is it coming from? I'm trusting you this week for it to be here. You know what I think? Maybe God needs to do some taking away from some of us, and we'd appreciate what we got. A lack of want. Boy, he can teach you how to put faith in him. Faith promise just keeps it alive in my life. I mean, I'm blessed. I kid you not. I'm blessed. But faith promise keeps faith alive in me every week. And I praise God for it. Now, I'm going to close with this last thought. Faith dies because of the lack of the Word of God. Oh, it's just, Romans 10:17 is plain as day. Faith only comes one way. You don't get it by working it up. You don't get it by, give me more faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not getting on you folks. I think you're a faithful bunch for being here on Friday night. But there are many believers out there that I guarantee you, if you were to ask them if they believe this Bible is the Word of God, they say yes. But then you get over Malachi 3 and they have a wall-eyed hissy fit.
Yeah, right.
And if they could, they'd tear that page out of the Bible. You get over there and you talk about sacrifice and they say, well, I don't, you know. As one guy said to me, he said, I believe this is the Bible, but I just don't think it applies to me right now. Let me tell you something. This is either the Word of God or it is not. And if it is the Word of God, every single word of it is inspired and it is from God. If any part of this book is wrong, you might as well chunk it all. It's got to be true or it's not. I believe it with all of my heart. Why do we know we're going to heaven? We're trusting God by faith.
Amen.
Do you tithe? If not, don't tell me you're doing anything with faith. It's faith. Jesus makes a statement, and I'll close with it. In Luke 18:8, and I won't quote it perfectly, but it just simply says this. When the Son of Man cometh back, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find it? Wouldn't it be good to say he'll find it at Landmark Baptist Church?
Amen.
I was looking. I got a little picture frame with this on it. And I've been using that when I preach this sermon. I hadn't preached it often, but I was looking at it one day, faith, R.I.P. And I thought, man, that is really negative. How can I make that positive? Joel Osteen could, you know. You know I always got to say something about him every time I preach. And I thought, you know, by faith we can take that R.I.P., rest in peace, and turn it into resurrected by involved people. And that's the key right there. Brother McKinley's prayer, my prayer, and every missionary's prayer this week is that every single member of this church will just get involved.
Amen.
With what God tells you to do. If you'll do that, God will be pleased and certainly we will be. And everything that needs to be done, taking on new missionaries and all, the needs will be met. God's certainly not broke. He just needs people like you that will say, I'm going to stay involved. And if you'll do that, faith will stay alive in this church. I know it's alive today in here. But I'm telling you, I want it to stay alive. So let's stand together and let's pray together. This is your church, not mine. You come and pray. This is your church. You want this church to stand true 20 years from now? It's going to take your prayers. You want this mission program to keep going? It's going to take your involvement. Heavenly Father, tonight,